You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back, baseball family. Again, we got Andrew LaRose here, and we, I don't know if you caught the tease right before we jumped into the break, but we have got to talk about broadcasters. The reason we're going to talk about broadcasters, Andrew's going to give us a whole lot more information, but he is currently a broadcaster, and he has a background. His education is actually in broadcasting, so we wanted to talk to him about that. Drew, you're in the middle of broadcasting right now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's something you do contemporarily, right? Or as a contemporary time spend. Wow, that was poorly worded.
I do spend some time in the present moment that I do for broadcasting. So I'm currently working for Spanish Fork 17. It's just a local cable station out here in Spanish Fork, Utah. And I do the play-by-play and sometimes some color commentary for a variety of sports, but mainly was hired on for baseball and softball. So I've been doing usually a couple games a week here over spring, summer, where I get to cover Spanish Fork and Maple Mountain High School baseball games for just the local cable station. And it is an absolute blast. I absolutely love it. It's so fun.
That was actually going to be my first question for you, was how does it stack up to your expectations? Is it what you thought it would be, more than what you thought it would be? Do you enjoy it more than you ever thought you would?
Oh, I very much enjoy it. And when I went into it, I always kind of knew that I liked doing play-by-play. I have always just enjoyed watching the game, taking it in, and then also being able to analyze it while it's happening. And so I always figured that I kind of would really like play-by-play, but really hadn't done a ton of it until I went over to Spanish Fork 17. Again, that's what's kind of alluded to. My background is I graduated from Brigham Young University with a degree in communication, specifically broadcast journalism, and was an emphasis in sports journalism. And so had some background as a sports reporter, sports anchor for BYU, for their local cable station. Again, we used to be on the air with back then it was called 11 News at Noon. It's now called Newsline. So did a lot of newsy type stuff for them, but also really focused on sports. And really enjoyed covering BYU sports. Enjoyed the kind of variety that came with that, but I've always been a huge baseball guy. And so when this opportunity popped up to do play-by-play for a local cable station, I was like, heck yes, please. This sounds great. And since then, it's completely met my expectations. It's been just a blast. I enjoy working with Pete Hansen, my director, and there's the whole crew there at Spanish Fork 17 is just fun. I mean, it's a local thing. So, I mean, we're not too crazy serious about it, but we do what we can, and we make the broadcast enjoyable as much as possible for our audience. And it's just something that I kind of almost fell into in a way. And then I've been doing it now for the past 3 years. And it just, as I get more and more reps, it's gotten even better. I feel like it really has just kind of become a big part of what I do and how I enjoy life.
That's great. Is it a television broadcast or radio broadcast? Do you do both?
It's television. And then we also do, we have some that go straight to our YouTube page. So there's usually one or two games a week that'll be live on the channel. And then there's the occasional time where we may actually just be live on our YouTube channel. And then there's other times where we're just making on-demand content. So we're there live for the game, but then we're just going to throw it up on our YouTube page for later for people to watch.
That's really neat. I like that. Cool.
So you've been doing this for 3 years now. Has there ever been a moment where you were like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what just happened. Like, were you almost like had like a brain fart, like while you were on the air?
Oh, absolutely. It almost feels like it happens once every time. Then I'm here, there's something that's like, oh, what's fully going on here? I don't know. A good example is we had a softball game a couple of weeks ago where we seriously did not know what was going on. There was discussion between the umpires and the coaches, and we're like, oh, something's weird. They walk over to the mound, kind of looking, inspecting the mound, and we're like, oh, I'm not quite sure what's going on here, but they're taking some time here to figure something out. And eventually during the break in between the first and second inning, we find out that the field was set up for slow pitch softball and not for fast pitch softball, because they had some rec games the past week and hadn't fixed the mound yet. So they were actually like 4 feet closer to the hitter.
Oh,
and
no.
It would explain why there were tons of strikeouts in the first inning. Just had no time to react at all to anything. So there's this huge break in between the first and second inning. And thankfully, this was one of the ones that wasn't live on the channel. It was on demand. And so we're able to kind of obviously cut that time. But yeah, for that first bit, we're like, we have no idea what is happening here. This conversation happening. And it's like, well, the game's delayed. We don't know why, but it's happening.
Yeah. How do you fill that time? Do you end up filibustering and do you pick topics and kick it back and forth? And
I mean, filibuster a little bit in the sense. I mean, yeah, you start talking about like, oh, well, here's where the team stands this year. Here's what this team's doing. And then just kind of start just shooting the breeze about whatever. Hopefully there's something going on sports-wise that day that people would like latch to and be like, oh, well, we got this game going on later today in whatever region, or hey, there's this happening in the majors, storylines to look at. You just kind of fill it with whatever content kind of comes up at the top of your head and hope that it doesn't sound completely dumb.
How much, I know about so, that. Yeah.
We are very familiar with that, especially the filibuster side. So how much preparation, like how much prep work does it take to get ready for a single game?
So I put in a decent amount of legwork in. What I mainly do is I'll go to maxpreps.com, which is where a lot of the high school stats are kind of kept there. And so I will kind of take that evening to get a nice, decent dive into what each team's got going on this season. Look at some key players, pull up all their stats, pull up their schedule, pull up their roster, kind of get a feel for the name of each person. So I can, hopefully not botch their names too horribly. and then the following day, I'll just kind of update everything just to make sure that the stats are as up to date as they can be, that the records are as up to date as they can be. And then I also make sure to get to the ballpark at least a half an hour early, hopefully. Traffic, give or take, can kind of be crazy, but try to get there early enough to be able to make sure to get lineup cards, to kind of chat a little bit with coaches, chat a little bit with the crew, talk with my color guy to see what kind of research he's done. And so I'd say I probably put about an hour or two of actual preparation work into every single ball game at the very least.
Yeah. That's, is there any particular piece of information that you gravitate toward or you think like hits home really well with your audience?
I just think if you have a wide base of knowledge of what's actually going on, that's really what fans appreciate. I mean, they want to see that you know what you're talking about. They want to see that you know the players. They want to see that you know what's happening with the team. They want to see that you're not just BSing it, just talking about whatever, just being like, oh, well, there's a hit over there. That's cool. But that you actually know the sport, you know what's going on, and you know how to be able to communicate that to your audience. And that otherwise, why are you there? You know, you're not really adding anything at that point for the audience. They could literally just watch the game without you chattering away. And so be sure that you're actually, you know, stuff that you know what's going on and can actually add some value to the broadcast instead of just being a random voice that they're listening to.
That actually reminds me of, so you, I'm sure you remember the Orem Owls.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Good old
so
Owls.
When I was an intern with the Owls, I heard all kinds of stories about stuff that went on with that team. And one of them, somebody told us about, they didn't have a radio broadcaster at some point. And so they brought in just like somebody's kid. Like He was like 20 something years old, and him and his buddy came in, and it turned into basically a comedy act during the game. They called every single game with Baseball for Dummies. Wow. Just open and ready to go, and they'd be like, well, we don't know what just happened, so give us a second to look it up. Meanwhile, this is going on, what's going on. And everybody said, they're like, it was ridiculous and it was a mess, but it was a ton of fun and it was hilarious. So people liked it, you know, but at the same time, it's like, that is good for a season, but I don't know if I'd do it again, you know.
Yeah.
No. The novelty of that eventually wears off.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Especially. Yeah. I mean, even after what it's like 80 games or something like that for that season, 60 to 80 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think it would take that long for that to wear off, but
you do that for a couple ball games and it's like, okay. Like, can we get someone that knows what's going on here?
Exactly.
Maybe do that as a promo, right? Like once every, once a month or something.
Know? Yeah. Yeah.
Once or twice a season, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just kind of a funny, like, random so-and-sos, you know, call them name.
ESPN did it for how many years on Monday Night Football, though, with who was the comedian they had in the booth for a while, the color guy?
Oh, I don't remember.
I can't think of who it was off the top of my head, but
yeah.
I knew him as Monday Night Football before I knew he was a comedian. And then looking back, I was just like, you serious? Like,
come on, that's ESPN. What you did. You have so many people at your disposal. So many.
I know it. Unreal. But Andrew, let's go all the way back. What was it that initially made you want to go into like working in sports? What was your initial motivation? Was it like as a kid that something you always wanted to do? Was it when you got older? What was it that drew you to specifically broadcasting as well?
That's a really good question. Growing up, I honestly thought I was going to go to Broadway. Like I really was going the whole theater route and had always loved sports, and I played baseball up until high school, and baseball was life up until that point, but then it like changed gears super quick to theater, and like I studied theater at college for a little bit, and then I got to the point where I realized that maybe my Broadway dream wasn't all it was cracked up to be, and so I kind of fell back and was like, okay, now what do I do, what do I want to do with my life? And then I kind of got back to my roots, which as a kid was I really liked playing baseball. I loved sports. And so I was like, I wonder if there's a way for me to get paid and talk about sports. There is. I can be like a sports reporter, or I could go be like an anchor, or I could be a, like that guy on TV that talks while baseball is happening. You know, like I could try to go that route. And so I then switched gears, got my communications degree at BYU, and then landed with the job at Spanish Fork 17. Actually, my full-time day job is as a master control operator at BYU Broadcasting. And so I kind of see a little bit of what happens behind the scenes as well in terms of like live production as well. See a lot of that with BYU Sports, which is kind of fun. It wasn't a thing that, certainly high school Andrew would not have said that was what he was going to do, but little 7-year-old Andrew would have been very happy to know that he was doing stuff with baseball. So
if we could all make our 7-year-old selves feel pretty content, we'll probably be good shape.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So sure. Andrew, what's we've gone all the way back to the beginning. What's the long-term goal here? I mean, is there a 10 or a 15 year target on your horizon?
That's also a really good question. Cause I'm pretty content with what I do with BYU Broadcasting. I've joked, internally, with some of the people in my department that I might jump over to the sports department and like take over like BYU Sports Nation at some point and, take over like a Spencer Linton or Jason Shepherd's job over there, for BYU Sports. That'd be tons of fun. And I kind of have my foot in the door a little bit that way. We'll see. I love what I do with Spanish Fork, and I would love to have that eventually be something that could grow into something that's more full-time, maybe get to a place where I could do play-by-play for a minor league baseball team and then work my way up to the majors in some way. That would be an absolute dream. Absolute dream would be fantastic. Having the Owls no longer close to us is a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, that's true.
Huge bummer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly on the websites. I mean, I certainly apply for different things here and there. I've applied for a couple different play-by-play jobs with some double-A teams over this past season. But for now, it's just stay with what I got with Spanish Fork 17. Keep building up the old resume, and hopefully see what kind of happens from there. Again, I'm happy with what I'm doing, but I also wouldn't mind different horizons as well. So, yeah,
sure.
See what happens.
What
I have a follow up?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, my question to you, my question is your broadcast voice different? Do you change it? Do you modify it at all? Is it the same old Andrew's voice?
Well, what you're hearing right now is pretty much what you hear when I do broadcasts. Like, I don't go like with like the super deep voice, or, you know, I try to also not get like super crazy with it and go, wah, you know, like, you know, I just,
yeah.
It's me. I'm just calling a game. I'm making it real. Like, I try to keep it right here. I've been told I have a natural like broadcaster voice. And so I don't try to change it up. I don't need to sound like Bob Costas. I don't need to sound like Kevin Harlan. Like, I don't mm-hmm. need that in my life. I just need to be, Andrew LaRose. And this is the voice of Andrew LaRose is what you're hearing right now. So why change it up? Why do anything too crazy? Like, I mean, still make sure that you can like enunciate properly and like people understand what you're saying, kind of thing.
But sure.
Otherwise, nah. I think that we need to move more towards, you know, we don't need this broadcaster voice. We just need our voice, and our voice is going to be interesting enough, and it's going to be more relatable to the audience than just your standard canned broadcaster voice.
Nice. Yeah. And I get that. I think there's a lot of people who can appreciate that as well, for sure. For kids who want to go into broadcasting, you know, say middle schooler, even a high schooler, what kind of advice do you have for them?
I would say to watch a lot of games and get really familiar with the rules, get familiar with what specific sport you may like be most interested in actually doing like play-by-play for, and just get very comfortable with it. Like, pick your favorite team and make sure that when your team is on that you're available and able to watch a game or listen to a game. Again, we have a lot of awesome talent who do radio broadcasts. So I would not shy away from just grabbing an MLB TV subscription and listening to your favorite team's radio broadcast when you're out mowing your lawn or whatever it be. Like, that is a great way to get those reps in. And that's actually something that I went in for an interview with the Jazz a couple of years ago. And one of the things that they told me when I interviewed there was exactly that. It's get in your reps, like get in whatever reps you can. Like, if your local school has some kind of availability to do like a play-by-play thing for your football team, go do it. Like, go find out if that's a thing and if you can be a part of that. Does your high school have like a radio production that they do? Like, go be a part of that. Just, you need to be proactive in finding these things, and the more reps you can get, the better off you're going to be. And just kind of be on your toes and looking for different opportunities.
I think that's perfect advice. That is excellent. I've heard of guys, there was actually somebody I knew when I was in school, in journalism school, he wanted to call football. And so what he would do is he would turn on Madden on like the simulation game, yes. You know, where it's just the computer playing, and he would call the game. So he would pretend like he was the broadcaster for that. So that's one way that I've heard getting your reps in, and it, you know, doesn't count, but you get in practice.
It does count. It does count.
Absolutely, it counts.
Yeah.
You can't put that on a resume. You used to call Madden 07 games. You
know? Madden 20.
Yeah.
Madden 21, sorry.
Called the Madden 21 games. Called the Madden 16 Super Bowl.
I've called the Super Bowl 500 times.
Yeah. So I know a lot of guys who are aspiring broadcasters. They'll mute their favorite games they're very familiar with, and they know what's going to happen, or, you know, segments, innings, whatever it is. They'll mute it, and then they'll record themselves using GarageBand or whatever it is, and then they'll overlay the video and their narration, their play-by-play calling. Have you ever done anything like that?
I haven't. I've heard of people do it before, and I've certainly seen it before, and some of them are just freaking hilarious. yeah. But it's great. I think that that's a great way of like practicing like your call, in the sense of like if a big moment happens, like what are you going to do? How are you going to sound? Like what's some like phrase that you could use that is going to be good for you and work for you, instead of just, you know, stealing, you know, so-and-so's, you know, catchphrase, you know?
Yeah.
So come up with something that works for you, that call feels right in your bones as opposed to someone else's, or it sounds like it should be coming from someone else's voice. And so I think that's awesome. I think that's a really good way to kind of practice those kinds of big moments.
Do you have a big moment call? Do you have a home run catchphrase or anything that you're working on?
I personally don't. I have just a bunch of different things I'll say. Like, I mean, there's no like no specific like, oh, hey, this is my home run call, is I say slam-a-lam-a-ding-dong, or like, you know, something along those lines.
And now you should.
So just whatever comes to my brain at the moment, I'm like, oh man, and just let loose. And so hopefully it doesn't sound too awful, but I don't have anything like specific, but I don't know.
What are some of your favorites that you
use? One of these days, I'm like, oh, this really worked. I should maybe like stick with that as kind of my main go-to. But for now, there's no Andrew LaRose catchphrase for a home run, or, you know, along those lines.
Slam-a-lam-a-ding-dong.
Slam-a-lam-a-ding-dong, which I got from
the one
back in the day. There was some ESPN one. I remember some commercial that had that. But
Yeah.
What are some of your favorites that you've used, though? Do you have any that you remember offhand?
I mean, I like calling, you know, the grand salami. I've had a couple grand slams where I've been able to pull out the grand salami. I've also called one the greatest of all dingers. I mean, everyone uses moonshot. And so whenever there's one that's a super high fly ball, it's just a natural, like, oh man, that one was a moonshot, you know?
Have you ever dropped a boom goes the dynamite?
I have never. Everyone has always asked if that has happened in my life, but it hasn't. And it's super funny. I'll have coworkers that are like, hey, during your next broadcast, you should work in this word. I'm like, okay, cool. And I will never work it in because it's just like, I would like to think that I can just do that, but they pick these just random awkward words that I'm like, well, how am I supposed to say scuttlebutt in a broadcast, you know? Like, I just don't know how I can make that work.
But start bringing up the trade rumors and recruiting.
Yeah, scuttlebutt in the dugout. Scuttlebutt in the clubhouse. On the off the cuff, though, that's tough.
It's
hard to hang in there. So, okay, do you have favorite broadcasters right now that are active, maybe at the big league level, that you love listening to?
This is going to sound super homer of me because I'm a Red Sox fan, but I really do appreciate Dave O'Brien. And he's been in the business for a good while. I think that he always does a great job. Joy Remdog, of course, Jerry Remy, for as long as we're going to have him, unfortunately, battling with cancer. And we'll see how long he's able to keep broadcasting. But Dave O'Brien's definitely up there. Everyone's obviously used to Matt Vasgersian, of course. If you play the show, you know Matt, because he's been the guy for the show for a long time. And I generally think he does a good job, and A-Rod has improved over the years, in my opinion. I still hate him because he's a Yankee, but he has gotten better in the booth. Also congrats to him for, being the new owner of the Timberwolves. That's going to be kind of interesting gig for him.
But,
mm-hmm. Dave O'Brien is probably my current favorite. I mean, you can't talk baseball broadcast without Vin Scully, of course. And always loved listening to Vin back in the day. He's still, you know, top five, top three, you know, all time in terms of, you know, baseball broadcasters. So always listening to some good Vin is a great thing. Being the Red Sox homer I am, we'll go with Dave O'Brien.
There's nothing wrong with homerism, man. I thought you were going to say John Sterling. I was getting excited.
Ah.
Where does Bob Costas rank? You mentioned Vin Scully's in the top three. We got to loop it back to Bob.
No, it's true. We do got to loop it back to Bob. So Bob is also going to be one that I would put squarely in the top five. Bob has always been one of my favorites. I grew up, I mean, we all grew up with Bob, you know, he was basically the voice of NBC. I mean, like he's always been so great. And I love that he's such an ambassador for the game of baseball too. I actually, for one of my projects in over at BYU, I actually was supposed to read essentially an autobiography of a journalist. And I basically got special permission to do Bob Costas.
Yes.
And so I was, that was such a fun read, and to kind of hear his thoughts. And most of his book was about baseball and like how he thought baseball was trending at the time. This was a book that was written in the late 90s. So kind of
people like the steroid era
kind of time. And really good read. I wish I had the title for you currently.
Fairball. It's called Fairball.
That is it. Yes.
It's one of my favorite baseball books ever.
Yeah,
that's a great. It's a fantastic read. I would encourage anyone and everyone to read it. And it's so Bob. He does a great job of it. It's so Bob. He explains the game so well, and like kind of what he would do and what he thinks would be best for the game moving forward. And hey, guess what? He was probably right.
And he reads the audiobook. I don't know if you know, he narrates his own audiobook.
Yeah, nice. That's good. Yeah, that would make sense.
It's the best. And then, you know, that book is the reason he's our stand-in. And we don't want him to be the commissioner forever. We just want him to write the ship and then pass it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a 2-3-year stint, just fix it.
If that is the case, I'm signing the petition.
Excellent. Yes, very good.
You've got
another
John
one.
John Hancock can go on the petition.
Yes,
that's three names.
Three other than our two, though. So that's we're heading in the right direction there, Brig.
Yeah, for sure. 3,000, right way. You know, yes. Hashtag decommissionered. Yes,
decommissionered. Yes, exactly.
So we are getting low on time. So Andrew, I have one more question for you to wrap this all up. Where does your 2017 Orem Youth Baseball Trophy sit?
Oh, where does it sit? Right now it sits on my dresser right now.
Right where it belongs.
It's kind of moved place to place, but I actually recently got a new dresser, and it still has its spot. that coaching that team was so fun.
That was
we
blast.
Had some great kids, we had some great coaches. it was really fun. And that's a prized possession for me. I really enjoyed that year, and enjoyed being able to coach the kids.
Yeah, that was awesome. So for anybody who doesn't know, I've talked a little bit about coaching youth baseball. Andrew and I coached together with another one of our buddies, Dustin, and we took, I guess, kind of a ragtag group of kids who we weren't sure what we had at the beginning of the season, and put them together and helped those kids win a championship. And it was awesome. It was a ton of fun. It just got to the point where we're like, you know what, no catcher's going to throw us out, so let's just steal every base. And that's
absolutely.
So that's kind of
You won with small ball. Are you saying
we did?
You won with good old fashioned baseball.
There was one home run hit.
Smalls, like the shirt says.
Yes,
that's right.
There was one home run hit the entire season. It was in the title game, and it was the one kid we expected to.
And it was a bomb. So,
yeah,
it was a bomb. Yeah, but hey, we're out of time, Andrew. I really appreciate you coming on. No, this was a great time. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a blast. Loved it.
We'll have to have you on again, and especially when you make it all the way to the bigs, then we'll loop it back and congratulate you formally.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great for both of us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Catch new episodes of the Baseball Together podcast every Tuesday.